Amazing Grace Church London. Discipling you to become everything God called you to be. Deliverance, healing, discipleship. For all info, visit PastorVincent.com.
Are you ready for the word? If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Zechariah. That is the book before Malachi, the second last book of the Old Testament. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 4 for this important message. You are all welcome in the house of the Lord. We love you. We are going to read, what is the Lord saying to us this morning? What is the Lord saying to his people this morning? Lord, may every word that proceeds from my lips come from your throne. Let everything of flesh be dead, and let only you speak by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. I want to read with you from verse 1 of the 4th chapter of the second last book of the Old Testament. And the title of the chapter is The Lampstand and Olive Trees. And the title of the sermon is Ye Are the Light of the World. Now, we read that the angel that talked with me again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep and said unto me, what do you see? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. Now I'm going to paint a picture by words to explain exactly what Zechariah, the prophet, who is a prophet crucial for the end times. He is the prophet that prophesied the return spot of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the prophet that said that the Jews will look upon the Lord and say, oh, it is him whom we pierced. Zechariah was prophesying at the time he was living, but he was also looking through the tunnel of time and prophesying for the time that we live in now. So the two, verse 3 carries on with this picture, and the two olive trees by it. So we have the lampstand with a special bowl. We have seven pipes. And then we have two olive trees either side. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? And you can read as the Lord is saying, who art thou, O great mountain of trouble? Thou shalt become a plain. The mountain shall become a plain. The mountain will disappear. The mountain of problems, it will disappear. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace and grace unto it. And Zerubbabel, you might know, is the one who started the rebuilding of the temple, and the Lord says he will also finish the building of the temple. And the Lord even said that the latter glory shall be greater than the former glory. Moreover, the word came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, that is the temple. His house shall also, his hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? Often we despise small beginnings. And we look at sometimes a work of God. But every work of God, it starts small. And even Zerubbabel, who was building the temple, he was rebuilding the temple of the Lord. And even the prophet said, for who has despised the day of small things? The hand that was used to lay the foundation. And when you lay the foundation, you work hard. And nobody sees what's going on, because when you lay the foundation, it is below zero. It is below ground level. You might be deep down below the earth, laying the foundation, and you might be there for some time, and nobody can see anything. There is no visible fruit yet. But when the foundation is laid, quickly the rest will begin to become visible. Hallelujah. Who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side? What does the olive trees mean? What does it stand for? And I answered again and said unto him, what be those two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Hallelujah. There's a ringing on this microphone. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to try and make it visible in your mind what Zerubbabel was, what Zechariah was seeing, and what Zechariah the prophet was saying unto Zerubbabel. Because it's important that you understand the picture in order to understand the rest of what God is saying to us right now for this very time. The picture is as follows. The prophet, he sees a candle stick with seven candles. So imagine a stand and then seven candlesticks thereupon. Now imagine that above those seven candlesticks that are burning, there are pipes, seven pipes going to a bowl. The bowl is placed above the seven candlesticks. Now imagine further the two olive trees side by side, and imagine the branches of the olive tree going towards the bowl, and then two golden pipes that are attached to the olive tree branch and that are pressing the oil into the bowl. The oil comes from the olive tree, it goes into the bowl, and the bowl separates it into those seven candlesticks. It's important to understand that. An olive tree releases oil, olive oil. Under tremendous pressure, an olive tree, this needs to be higher. An olive tree needs to be put under tremendous pressure, and then it produces olive oil. There is a secret about an olive tree, because an olive tree can be 1,000 years old and it can still look fresh. Hallelujah. Now, I'm laying the foundation here because we're going to look at some scriptures and some relatives of this in the New Testament. But I want you to have the picture very clear in your mind. Because when you understand what a candlestick is in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you begin to understand what your purpose is. Hallelujah. Remember the title? Praise the Lord. Father, help us. Remember the title? Close those two. And that, okay. Maybe that's the problem. The title of this sermon was, Ye Are the Light of the World. Now, before I go and preach, I want to take you to one more chapter in the New Testament. And that is Matthew chapter 25. Because today, we are going to get a revelation of the candlestick, the oil, and the light. Hallelujah. Because what the Lord is trying to bring across is that there is no light without oil. Hallelujah. See, often at times, because of religious paintings, we are thinking that the light described, or the candlestick described in the Old Testament, is a candle that is lit with a little bit of fire. But that is not true. These were oil-based candlesticks. Hallelujah. And the reason that the lamp was burning, it was an oil lamp, because of the oil flowing. Praise the Lord, somebody. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 paints a graphic picture, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, about the parable of the virgins. Let's read that quickly to lay the foundation better. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the end times in Matthew 24. Then he, in Matthew 25, continues with all sorts of parables about the kingdom of God. In Matthew 25, he describes a particular parable about 10 virgins. 10 virgins representing 100% of the church. There are 5 wise virgins, that's half. And there are 5 foolish virgins, that's the other half. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and these are oil lamps, these are not candles. They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Prophetically speaking, the bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to marry his bride, who is the blood-redeemed church of the living God. Hallelujah. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. We're going to find out why. They that were foolish, they took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But the wise, they took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now I want you to pick this one up, because this is often overlooked. While the bridegroom tarried, while the Lord tarried, the Lord is tarrying right now. He's waiting for his long suffering. They all, the wise and the foolish, all of them slept. The Lord comes when everybody sleeps. Hallelujah. The Lord comes always unexpected. He comes as a thief in the night, the Bible says. Unexpected. And suddenly, every everybody slept. Now at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. That sounds like the trumpet, hallelujah, from heaven. Praise the Lord. Now, the foolish said unto the wise, give us, then verse 7, all the virgins arose. The foolish and the wise, they all woke up because of this loud cry. And they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, you give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise being wise, answered saying, not so. We're not having that. Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. They that were ready, the wise, they were ready. And they went in to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord. And we hear that in Matthew 7, Lord, Lord. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, he answered them behind a shut door, because the door was shut. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. There are going to be a people, the Bible prophesies by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, like unto these foolish virgins, that are not ready. They know the Lord, but the Lord does not know them. It is very dangerous to know the Lord and the Lord not to know you. It is very dangerous for you to know of the Lord, but the Lord has no idea of who you are. Hallelujah. As far as the relationship is concerned, because the Lord is all-knowing. But this knowing talks about the relationship. Hallelujah. Some of you I know, so I know you're all here, but some of you I know personally, praise the Lord. The foolish virgins, they end up when the door is shut. The door is shut and it is all over. The bridegroom is tarrying, and whilst he is tarrying, the wise virgins made sure they were ready. The foolish virgins, they were not ready. When they heard the cry, when the trumpet blew, they tried to quickly get ready by borrowing or asking for the oil of the wise. But the wise being the wise, knowing that there is not enough for everybody, said, no, sorry, we need this now for ourselves. Whilst they went away, the Lord was no longer tarrying. He had done the tarrying. He had done the waiting. The trumpet had already sounded. The cry was made. And to be ready in that last moment, it's too late. That is the truth of this story. But to get a better understanding of the whole New Testament, together with what is taught in the Old Testament, and to understand why this parable about the oil, about the virgins, is all about the oil. It is the oil, praise the Lord, that causes them to stand before a door that is shut. It is the oil that causes the wise to enter into the marriage. It is the oil, hallelujah, somebody. We're building up. We're going to get there, amen. It is the oil that causes the foolish to lose out. It is the oil that causes the Lord to know the wise personally. And it is the lack of oil that causes the Lord to say to the foolish ones, I know you not. The Lord, he has a similar parable in Matthew chapter 7. That's just for your reference. Because in Matthew chapter 7, he describes a similar people like the foolish virgin. And instead of using the number 5 out of 10 being half, he uses the word many. I have learned to understand from the Lord that every single word in Scripture is important. We must never neglect one word. And because he said, my word will remain forever. Even the little commas in Hebrew, yota, no titzel, those are Hebrew, little Hebrew commas and so, even that will remain. Hallelujah. Everything else will disappear. But he said there, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And he will turn around to them and say, I never knew you. Never. They've been thinking they knew the Lord, or they've been professing they knew the Lord, but the Lord never knew them. There was not a relationship. And he said, I never knew you. Not once. I never knew you. I don't know who you are now. I've never known you in the past. I've never had a relationship with you. And then he says, you workers of iniquity. You're not repented. You're not forgiven. You're not surrendered. You workers of iniquity. Depart from me, he says, into everlasting hellfire. See, the Lord is long-suffering, and that is what the church of the end time must understand, that the Lord is long-suffering. But when the cry is made, the Lord is no longer merciful and is no longer long-suffering. There comes a time when the Lord makes his cry, when the trumpet blows, and then it is time for judgment. Going back to the book of Zechariah chapter 4. To get an understanding of the oil. Because we understand now, praise the Lord, that it's all about the oil. To get into the marriage. To make it to the end. It's all about the oil. Praise the Lord. Are you with me, church? You want to hear more, church? Amen. It's all about the oil. And the significance is the lampstand or the candlestick, but it's not a candle, it's a lamp. So the lampstand is a better word. And what is the purpose of a lampstand? Is to give light. Praise the Lord. If we go back in our memory to the book of Exodus, we understand in Exodus and Leviticus the principles of the high priest. And the high priest was to make sure that the lamp was continually burning. Hallelujah. Continually burning. It must be giving light all the time, 24/7. Now, the book of Zechariah paints this awesome picture. I'll say it one more time. We have two olive trees side by side. In the middle of the two olive trees, we have the candle stand, the lamp stand with seven arms. Just like you know on those Hebrew pictures. Then on top of the seven lampstands, the arms, there are seven pipes leading to a little bowl. And there are two golden, it's all gold, tubes leading up to the two olive trees from which the oil continually flows into the bowl, providing the oil continually for the lampstands to burn without ceasing. Hallelujah. We know that the olive tree stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. If you abide in me, you shall bear fruit. Hallelujah. So who is the source of the oil? It's the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The oil also represents the anointing, and the anointing comes from the Holy Spirit and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It is the Lord that says, I am the vine, we are the branches. From the olive tree comes the oil. Now, the good thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ is an everlasting, never-ending source. Hallelujah. And the Lord will give unto his children those that he knows, those that he have the relationship with, the anointing. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit causes you to receive the anointing through the Holy Spirit from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the oil represents the continuous anointing and the continuous fellowship that comes because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So when you are hooked up to the vine, the bowl is full of oil. Hallelujah. And when you are hooked up to the vine, because it says in that other parable, which is in the book of John, that if a branch is not bearing fruit, he'll cut it off. And in the end, he'll gather them together and burn them. It's important to understand this, church. Because, as I said, the title of this sermon is, You Are the Light of the World. Without the oil, without you being solemnly and properly connected to the vine, without you having a never-ending relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be able to shine. You will not be able to give light. Now guess what? The high priest in the Old Testament had to make sure that the lamp was continually burning. Hallelujah. That was the job of the high priest in the Old Testament. But under the new covenant that was made in the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. You are made priests. Hallelujah. You are kings and priests in Christ Jesus the Lord. And now it is your job to be the candle, to be the lampstand, and to continually give light. Because Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Hallelujah. You are the light. You are the lampstand. And you have to shine continually without ceasing, because you have an everlasting, never-ending source. His name is Yeshua, the Messiah. He shed his blood at Calvary's cross, and he still gives oil. Hallelujah. You are the light of the world. When Isaiah prophesied, he said there comes a time, and Isaiah is another prophet that always looked through the tunnel of time, and he prophesied for his age. But then he would see in the spirit, he would see the end time, the times that we are living in now. And he said, it was recorded, I believe, in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. And he said, arise and shine, for darkness shall cover the earth, but gross darkness shall cover the people. Gross darkness shall cover the people. The world will become a darker place. It will become so dark that darkness covers the earth, and greater darkness the people. And everybody you see out there who is not in Christ Jesus, who is not hooked onto the vine, who is not a child of God, is in darkness. And the only way that they can be saved, that they can be rescued, is when you shine. Hallelujah. But your job is to make sure that you continually shine for the Lord. Because if you run out of oil, you're not going to make it into the marriage. Can you bring it now into the perspective of the parable of the virgins? These virgins, they were foolish. They were not shining. Yeah, they knew the Lord. Some of them went to church. Some of them didn't go to church. Some of them just, you know, did whatever they wanted to do. But they knew the Lord, and they kind of thought they had some kind of a relationship. But they were not shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever Jesus Christ says, especially when he says, ye are the light, you better shine. Hallelujah. Because he don't like when your oil runs out. He don't give you a second chance at the last minute when your oil is run out. The wise will not give you the oil because there's only enough for themselves. Praise the Lord, somebody. Jesus said about this being the light. He said, you know, he made it kind of a little bit more clearer. And he said in Matthew 5:15, I will read it for you. He says, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peg measure. Or, you know, when you have a light, you don't put it underneath the bed because it's not going to brighten the bedroom up. But on a lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. Now this is the spiritual significance that it is time for you and me to understand. The church of Jesus Christ, the body of true, born again of His Spirit believers, completely repented, surrendered unto serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We are that lampstand. In the book of Revelation, the Lord refers to the same lens, lampstand or candlestick. And He says He walked within the seven churches, the seven candlesticks. The spiritual significance of the body of Christ ought to be and is that we give light to a dark world covered by darkness and gross darkness, the people. We as a church give light. If we are not in this city or in this country, it will be darker. In the spirit realm, that light is bright. In the spirit realm, that light expels darkness. In the spirit realm, it has tremendous significance. When we as a church and then when we as individually function according to the wise virgins as light, as lampstands that continually shine. Hallelujah. You have no idea the importance of being the light of the world. You can go to a place where there is no church, no believer, no worship, nothing. You will only see decay. You will only see darkness. You will only see death. But when you begin to shine, hallelujah, when you begin to understand the significance of oil and how significant it is for you to enter into the marriage. When you begin to shine so bright, hallelujah, the Lord be well pleased. And He will call you into his kingdom and He'll say, well done for shining bright, thou good and faithful servant. We ought to shine. Matthew 5:16. He says, let your light so shine before man that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble and good deeds and recognizable and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light so shine. Praise God. He is repeating what Isaiah commanded us to do. To shine upon Luke 1:79, to shine upon and give light to those who sit in darkness. Praise the Lord. It is so misunderstood and so completely and utterly perverted by religion that it is only a preacher or an evangelist that can cause a difference in this fallen dark world. Jesus didn't say that. Each and every one of us that is a child of God, that has the oil flowing from the vine, praise the Lord, will be able to shine upon and give light to each and everyone who sits in darkness, in the shadow of death. Hallelujah. Maybe their mortal flesh will not immediately recognize the light that is shining so bright from your soul and from your spirit. But they have a spirit too, because everybody was created body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah. That is recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And everybody, being soul, body, and spirit, has a spirit. And their spirit will recognize the light that shines from your spirit. Hallelujah. And their spirit understands the part of God, hallelujah, understands that they are sitting in the shadow of death. And you will therefore make a spiritual significance when you shine and bring light to those people. Praise the Lord. To direct and to guide our feet in a straight line into the way of peace. Matthew 5:14, as we said, is the title. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. We can no longer be hidden. We must repent of not shining continually before our fellow human beings. Hallelujah. We must shine before the Lord, and we must shine to those that sit in darkness. We are closing with Revelation. I'm going to turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. Awesome. God begins to talk about this lampstand, the significance of it, all the way through the Torah, the five books of Moses. Then Zechariah and Isaiah begin to emphasize the significance. Then the New Testament, and then even the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, has something significant to say in the words of Jesus Christ that he revealed unto John the Apostle. And it's in Revelation chapter 2. And in Revelation chapter 2, he talks about the first church. And remember, the book of Revelation, it starts with the seven spirits of God, the seven lampstands, the seven churches. And now that we understand the oil, now that we finally understand the oil, and what is the oil of the foolish and the wise virgins, the parable, and where does the oil come from, and what is the purpose of the oil to cause the lampstand to burn, hallelujah, and how it links in with John chapter 15, the parable of the vine, where he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, whosoever lives in me and in him bears much abundant fruit. And he says, however, apart from me, you can do nothing. And the very first church that the Lord Jesus Christ comments on, that the Lord Jesus Christ has something against, is the church of Ephesus. And it is also the church of today, the end time church. He talks about their works. He talks about their labor. He talks about their patience. He talks about trying them. They say they're apostles and they're not. But he found them liars. He talks about a church that follows the instruction. Just like the Bereans, they were testing the Spirit. They were testing the apostles. They were testing the teachers and the prophets. And they would even know who was false and who was real. And have borne patience. But in verse 4, the Lord says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. And that is the word of the living God today to you. Because some of you have left your first love. Because when you first entered that glorious, awesome relationship with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he fills you with oil. I brought this bottle today because it's unopened. And he filled you with his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person. And he filled you and you were filled. And you couldn't care about anything else but to serve the Lord Jesus Christ who saved you from an everlasting hell. You couldn't do enough for the Lord. You understood the sacrifice. And just like that olive tree that has to be pressed under tremendous pressure to give the oil, so it was in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Lord Jesus Christ foreknew what was about to be done to him. And as it were, his head was pressed just like the olive tree, for he is the olive tree. And under the pressure, he began to sweat blood. The first time he shed blood was in that Garden of Gethsemane, under the tremendous pressure. And you realized it, and you were full of the Holy Ghost. You were full of the love of God, and you were passionate for him. You wouldn't miss one service. You wouldn't miss one Bible reading. You wouldn't miss anything for the Lord. Because he was your all. He was your everything. He was your number one. He saved you. Hallelujah. He saved you. He saved you. He saved you. But now, he has somewhat against you. Because you have left that first love. He's no longer always the number one. And you're no longer always continually burning as a bright shining light in a world that he's placed you in. He saved you for a purpose to shine. And you're no longer shining all the time. Only on a Sunday. And then even on a Sunday afternoon, the brightness begins to dim. Don't be like the foolish virgin. Come back to your first love, says the Lord. He says, remember therefore, in verse 5, from whence thou art fallen, remember the height that you fell from. And do the first works. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, suddenly, and I will remove the candlestick. I'll remove the lampstand out of its place, except you repent. This is the word of the Lord unto you today. Turn back to your first love. Turn back to the first state when you were full of oil that took the sacrifice of the only begotten Son to bring forth into your life. Repent. For the Lord says, I will come quickly. They were all sleeping. And suddenly the cry came from heaven. You don't know when your time is up. The Lord can call you home at any time. Or the Lord can take your life at any time. He is the Lord that giveth and the Lord that taketh. Be ready at any time. Repent and come back to your first love. I'm going to pray for you all now and ask the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a brief moment. Don't worry, there's angels all over this sanctuary. Nothing will happen outside of God's order. We pray for that this morning. I'm going to pray for you as you close your eyes. Father, as I've delivered your word according to your Holy Spirit leading, I pray, Holy Spirit, you intensify the presence here. I pray, Holy Spirit, you convict each and every one of us now. Convict us, Holy Spirit. Convict us, Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord God, that you have angels all over the sanctuary now. Serving the Father in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, that by your Holy Spirit right now you convict us. I ask you now to show each and every one of us whether we need to repent and come back to our first love. Show us, Holy Spirit, if we've forgotten, Holy Spirit, how we were in the beginning, how we've fallen from that height of being so full of the things of God and then gone slightly lukewarm, got more interested in the things of the flesh again. We've lost our first love, Lord. Show us, Lord God, right now by your Holy Spirit. Convict us now. Let the fear of God descend upon this congregation and upon each and everybody that's listening and watching. Let the fear of God, Lord God, let it fall again. But this is your cry, as you said, to the end time church. Show us how little we are shining, or how bright we are shining. And if it's not bright enough, Lord God, cause us to repent before you now. This altar is open right now. The Lord says, I come quickly, I come quickly, I come quickly. This altar is open right now. God has given you an opportunity right now. Not later on your own, but right now. He's given you an opportunity to come and repent. To repent before the altar of God that has been prayed over this morning, that has been sanctified and declared holy by the Lord. He's calling you right now to repent before the altar. If you've lost that first love, if you haven't continually been shining as you did in the beginning, just raise your right hand quickly if that is you. And don't be proud and don't think there, oh, it doesn't matter. I see a few hands. I'm asking you to come forward and to kneel before the altar and repent before the living God, who is going to come quickly. Come quickly, come quickly. For the Lord comes quickly too. There is more of you. There is more of you that need to repent. Because you have fallen from a great height. And you need to come back to your first love. You need to come back to your first love. It is only the oil that can get you into the marriage. Some of you have ran out of oil. Some of you are like this bottle, less than half full. And if there's not enough oil, then there's not enough to make it to the marriage. You gotta be full. You gotta be full. You gotta be full. Come on, because I'm gonna anoint people as the Lord has instructed me with oil from this fresh new bottle. He told me, and He will, because they repent. And they've given heed to the warning of the Holy Spirit. And He's going to refill them. He's going to refill them. He's going to refill them. But if you lose out now, and if you're not on this altar right now, and if you're not repenting before the Lord right now, then He will call you pride. He will call you proud. He will call you proud. There is people in this room. The Lord is not happy. I command you to come in the name of Jesus Christ. There is people in this room that are going to lose the calling on their life. There is people in this room that the Lord says, I will remove the candlestick. I will remove the lampstand if you don't come and repent now. God resists the proud. God resists the proud. God resists the proud. God resists the proud. I am talking to you under the unction of the Holy Spirit.
I don't care if you have children on your arm. You take your children and you get to the altar and you repent before the holy God. What is the matter with you people?
Father, I speak your word as you speak to me clearly, and I deliver what you tell me to say. And I declare that whosoever is not here at the altar, the blood of you is not on my hands. Some of you made a mistake. Some of you have made a mistake. That's what the Lord says. You might not like it, but he cares about the marriage.
He cares about you making it to the marriage.
This is, thus says the Lord.